twice in a month. So I had somebody say, "We got to listen to you again." Sorry. You see over my head the words Extreme Makeover. Extreme Makeover was a popular show a few years ago. Most of you will probably remember it. It had a spinoff that has stayed probably a little bit longer, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and that I'm sure most of us have probably seen at least once. Extreme Makeover was an interesting show because it would take a candidate, a person, who was perhaps overweight, perhaps needed some corrective surgeries of some sort, plastic surgery, any number of different things. Didn't mean to do that. Any number of different things. And they would take this person and surprise them, and someone say, "Guess what? We're going to give you an extreme makeover. All expenses paid trip out to wherever they had this house set up for them." And they'd go away for a period of a few weeks, and they would, in that time period, they would be put on a pretty strenuous diet and exercise program. They would be given a new hairstyle, and ladies would get new makeup jobs, and if they needed to have their teeth straightened, they'd get their teeth straightened, and all sorts of these different things would take place in the period of just a few weeks. And they would return, in many cases, looking like a completely different person than they were when they left. And while pop culture made this show into a reality TV smash hit, I think there is certainly, we might say, a bit of spiritual reality that can be gleaned from the experiences of these participants. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 15 tonight. A passage that is familiar to many, if not most of us. And we're not necessarily going to break down every single word in this. We find that there are some lists of activities, both good and bad, that Paul gives here. We're not going to take the time to break down each of those things that Paul describes. But I think if we can take a few minutes, we're going to find that Paul, in essence, prescribes the Christian's extreme makeover. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 15. And we'll find that he gives us some steps, if you will, that we must take on a spiritual level to have the look and results that God is looking for in us. First of all, we see from this passage that God is looking for a new worldview in each and every one of us. On the show Extreme Makeover, the viewers would watch as a person was transformed, or as they transformed certain aspects of their lives. And in order to change these aspects of their lives, they had to change the way they viewed particular aspects of their life. For instance, they needed to see and realize that unhealthy foods are truly dangerous for them. They needed to realize that certain outfits were not in style anymore and didn't need to be worn. They needed to understand that surgeries were not necessarily a permanent fix for other problems in their lives. And for the Christian, Paul commands that we are to adopt a new worldview. What is a worldview? A worldview, as you see overhead, is defined as the overall perspective from which one sees and interprets the world. In other words, it's the set of glasses through which you look at life. Shaped by your background, shaped by the culture that you live in at the time, shaped by any number of different things. But it's the glasses through which you see life. And the way you react to life is based upon your worldview. Read with me, if you would, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, we're already seeing immediately, he is talking to Christians here. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Folks, in order for us to change our worldview, maybe another way of phrasing it is we need to refocus. We need to readjust our focus. I think the key word in this first little section here is the fact that he says, seek after certain things. And the idea of seeking is not just simply, okay, well, I'm gonna stand up here. No, it's not over there. It's not over there either. Okay, we'll try another time. Seeking is not a passive looking around for an object. Seeking in this case implies an actual effort concentrated on going after the things that we are focused upon. And what does Paul tell us? Don't seek, don't pursue, actively move for the things of this earth. Instead, set your focus so that you're seeking after things which are above. Seeking after things that are where Christ is at. The things that Christ has taught you to do. And when we come to this and we realize that our focus, and I think our focus is what shapes our worldview. If I am constantly searching for heavenly things, I will interpret the world with that purpose. I will react to the world because of that purpose. But if I'm seeking after earthly things, physical things, I'm going to react in a different way. I'm going to see things in a different way. Why do I refocus, though? What does it gain me? What are the results of that? Notice what he says. Because, verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden in Christ. We've died to the world, folks. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail here in a moment. But I like the image that he says, your life is hidden in Christ. And I think it's the image, if you will, of a seed being planted into the ground and covered up with the soil. It's growing continually. It has a purpose for having been buried. But we on the outside cannot see that growth. And we don't know, and we can't necessarily even truly visualize what is in store for that plant, for that tree that's going to be growing from that seed. Its life is hidden from the world until the time that its purpose is revealed by growing out of the ground. And I think in a real sense, as we are here, our lives are like seeds that are hidden within Christ. Sure, the world can see that there's something that's different about us. But a person who is focused upon earthly things is not going to be able to understand and visualize the life that you have in Christ as long as they are focused on earthly things. And they won't understand it in the entire time that they're here on this earth. But when Christ comes again, notice what he says, verse 4. But when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Folks, we have a purpose. We have an outcome to our lives that is so full of hope. Such a prosperous end to our lives that's waiting for us. But we're only going to realize that if our worldview is searching for things that are heavenly and not searching for things that are earthly. But what does my worldview truly look like? I think the first thing that Paul says is you have to separate from old habits. Look with me, if you will. Let's read verses 5 through 8. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. He says specifically, put to death what is earthly within you. You know, death is often defined as a separation. Physical death we talk about as being a separation of body and soul. In unfortunate cases, sometimes within a family, you may find a parent whose child has wandered away from the things that they have taught them, and in extreme cases, you may hear a person say, he or she is dead to me. Doesn't mean they physically passed on, but they are separated, and I have nothing to do with them anymore. And in the show Extreme Makeover, there was always a separation of some place, albeit temporary. There was a separation from families, from certain habits, and maybe even certain temptations that had been in the life of the candidate. And having separated themselves from such influences, a person was able to, they found it maybe a little bit easier to reach the goals that they had set for themselves in this extreme makeover. I think that as we look at Paul's phrasing of put to death the things of this earth, we are getting another command in the Christian's extreme makeover. Change your habits. And it's probably as much a state of mind as it is a physical separation. You know, literally the idea to put to death means to make a corpse of. Make a corpse of these things that are earthly. How many people do you know in your life? Do you know who spend their lifetime surrounding themselves with corpses, besides Glenn? We don't do it. In most cases, we find that to be rather bizarre. And so when a person in our life dies, or a pet that we have dies, or a plant that we've had out on our back porch dies, we don't spend time in normal circumstances keeping those dead things around us. We separate them from us, whether it be through a burial or a cremation or a trash can, whatever. We get rid of them so that they are no longer in our lives. And the things that Paul speaks of in Colossians 3:5 are to be put to death in our lives. We are to separate ourselves from them. In our minds, these things must no longer be allowed to hold sway and influence in our lives. These habits must be considered as dead. And we must separate ourselves from them if their power is to be done away with. Why? Why do I truly have to separate myself from these things? Paul says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You know, there are certain habits that if we continue participating in them, we understand and we know that they will certainly end in problems. Eating 4 bacon cheeseburgers a week is not healthy for you. Never getting out and getting any exercise of any kind is not healthy. Refusing to wake up and brush your teeth every day is not healthy in more ways than one. And Paul reminds us here, in this list of different things that he's given to us, the sexual immorality, the impurity, passions, evil desires, and so on, he reminds us that just as a bad habit leads to bad health, bad morals result in the wrath of God. But someone may look at these and they say, But you know, they're awful. They're an awful lot of fun. And some of them, you know, have a lot of pleasure to them. I enjoy doing them. And sometimes we may even throw this one out. Well, just because I do it doesn't mean that I'm hurting anybody else. So who's noticing? Who else really cares if I do these things? When we begin to justify staying involved in these actions that Paul has said to separate ourselves from, I think we need to remember Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 7, where Paul says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them." Folks, we must put to death the things of this earth. But then we see that Paul tells us to get a new wardrobe. One of the most entertaining things about the show Extreme Makeover was seeing the fashions that some of these candidates had adopted. Some were sloppy, some were frumpy, some were perhaps a little too revealing. Some were just flat out of style and should have been taken to the garbage 30 years ago. And in such cases, they would get rid of that wardrobe. And they would make an effort to update their fashion style. Teach them what is culturally acceptable, if you will, in society. What's the new fashion that everybody's wearing? And bring them up to speed with the modern day. The Christian's Extreme Makeover has a similar process as well. Look, if you will, at verses 9 and 10. "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." You know, once you get rid of an old wardrobe, you almost have to replace it with something a little bit better. In the previous verses, Paul described the old man as being stained and full of flaws, improper for the Christian to wear. And in its place, he commands that we clothe ourselves with the new man. Notice the description of the new man. It is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You know, each of us has a vision of what we want to be and what we want to look like. And yet many of us never see that vision realized, perhaps in part because we don't know where to begin. And we don't know what to do, what path to walk in order to become the person that we want to be. And in many of those cases, though, the acquisition of certain knowledge enables us to begin on a path to becoming the image that we see. What is the vision and knowledge that is renewing the new man that Paul speaks of here in Colossians 3? Think about it. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. God says, "Let us now create man in our image." Have you ever thought about the fact that you were made to look like God? You were created to look like your Creator. And unfortunately, Paul reveals in Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Once we've stained ourselves, soiled our outer being, so to speak, we no longer look like the Creator. And some people spend the rest of their lives trying over and over, day in and day out, to get that stain out by their own doings, by their own power, by their own abilities. And they fail day in and day out. I'm going to read a series of passages taken from 1 Timothy, 1 Peter, and 2 Corinthians. I want you to listen as we consider the knowledge that Paul gives to us, that Paul and Peter give to us in light of the fact that we have stained our outer garments. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Folks, our new self, our new man, is being renewed by this knowledge day after day after day. And when we allow ourselves to be renewed by this knowledge, we come closer to being the image of God that we were created to be. But finally, we see that God's extreme makeover calls for a peace of mind. I don't know how permanent it was for any of these candidates on Extreme Makeover, but at the end of the show, there always seemed to be a newfound confidence and perhaps a little bit of peace in their life. And they know they have this because they know that they've made some positive changes in their life. And they can now pursue greater things than they ever imagined that they could pursue. Things that they once thought were unreachable. When a Christian experiences his own extreme makeover, I think the result is truly a permanent inner peace. Read with me, if you will, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Peace is defined in this context as perhaps the state of tranquility. The word is defined as a state of tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war. The war of sin for the Christian has been fought and won. There may be little battles along the way, but the war is won. And it's not by our own strength, not by our own ability to get rid of the bad in our lives, but it has been won by the strength and the power of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And this peace, according to Paul, rules in our hearts. You know, literally that word rule means to sit as an umpire, to decide, to determine. And when clothed in the old man, our hearts are ruled by selfishness, by greed, by ungodliness. Things that determine a deadly path for us. These things determine our fate as being the recipients of the wrath of God. However, the peace of Christ, when given control in our hearts, leads to confidence in our eternal destination, regardless of what may come our way. Such a peace of mind allows us to pursue things in this life for God's sake that we could not dream of pursuing when being clothed with the old man, and we could not pursue for God when being clothed with the old man, when being controlled by sin. It's a great thing to wake up every morning and know that if this were to be my last day on earth, I would go to heaven. That is a peace of mind that is great to live with. That is a peace of mind that gets you through one day to the next. The show Extreme Makeover seemed to do a lot of good to and for the people that it reached out to, even if the changes were merely physical and temporary. But the Christian's Extreme Makeover is one that, when accomplished, it yields results that are permanent. It yields results that are eternal in nature. Have you experienced this extreme makeover for yourself? Are you seeking the things that are in heaven and not seeking the things that are on the earth? Have you put to death, separated yourself from the earthly desires that have stained and tarnished your soul as you've gone through your life? Have you clothed yourself in a new garment, in the new self? And are you renewing your soul day after day until you become the image of God? Do you have the peace of Christ ruling in your heart, giving you the confidence to do the things that you never dreamed possible before? You can have that by becoming a Christian tonight. God has told us that if we will repent of our sins, change our mind about the way we view sin, turn around, walk the other direction, determining your mind, I am no longer going to walk the path of sin. Give your life over to Christ by being immersed in water and putting Him on in baptism. I love Galatians 3:27. Because just as we've talked about tonight in Colossians, He says, you've put on the new self. Galatians 3:27 tells us that we have put on Christ in baptism like a new garment. Have you done that? You can do that tonight. Are you a Christian? Maybe you've stepped away from the fold. Maybe you've wandered out into some territory that you said you wouldn't go back to, and maybe you need a little help. Maybe you need some prayers. You need God to reach His hand back out and to bring you home. While you're here, we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. That's what the body of Christ is for. And you can come back and get your life right with God right now while we stand and while we sing.